They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans 1, we read from verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." We're going to be talking about a lot of these things that we see around the world that really help us to understand, hey, the Bible is true, and we can understand from these things that really the God of the Bible is true. He has given us his credible word, which is reliable, but we're going to be talking about this in respect to an incredible debate that happened in February. We're going to do, this is a series about the Bill Nye Ken Ham debate, and a number of our PhDs are going to be joining us and talking through some of the aspects of these debates and some of the questions that came from it. And today we have with us Dr. Andrew Snelling again, who is a geologist with Answers in Genesis and head of our research department. Hey, welcome, Dr. Snelling.
Thank you, Steve. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you again on this podcast and just talking through some of the things about the Bill Nye debate. Just tell me firstly, what were your impressions of the debate?
Well, Ken stuck to his topic, Bill didn't, and Bill tried to divert attention by rapid-fire claims of evidence that would stack up and Ken wouldn't have enough time to answer, but Ken didn't get drawn into that kind of bait. He stuck to the main issue of the basis for what we believe. What are our starting points? And he kept on emphasizing that as Christians, we start with God's word, and we build our understanding of the world from that. And the origins issue is foundational, ultimately, to the gospel message that we preach. And Ken faithfully several times presented that gospel message. Whereas Bill threw out all these evidences, and when you examine the evidences that he threw out there, many of them are actually bogus. And he showed that he didn't really understand the evidence or the whole nature of the debate. He kept on trying to equate operational science, the science we do now with experiments. He confused that with talking about the past when scientists weren't there to observe and measure the past. Yes, we measure the things in the present and we can project back into the past, but we make assumptions. And he didn't acknowledge any of that at all. So ultimately, the debate was about a clash of worldviews, and it was plainly clear to anyone who listened that Ken understood his own worldview and not only consistently presented that, but showed its internal consistency.
Yeah.
Whereas Bill never really fronted up that he had a belief system, and the evidence really isn't consistent with that belief system.
Great summary, Dr. Snelling. I think you absolutely nailed it, and that's what I saw definitely as well, and many of the people who were at the debate and listened to the debate. We have had a lot of people come back since then and really want to dig into many of those one-liners that Bill Nye threw out that says, okay, what about ice cores or what about fossils from one layer to another and different things like that. And so I wanted to actually go through and talk about some of those things because we're not in a debate and we've got time actually to deal with that, knowing that Ken has set the basis for understanding the difference between operational and historical science and a number of those things. And so today what I wanted to start with is just talking about ice cores because Bill Nye did use that on a number of occasions. What was his issue with ice cores?
Well, his issue with ice cores is that they're supposed to claim that the show that the ice caps, the ice sheets on the South and North Poles, are over 100,000 years old, and therefore that doesn't fit in with. It kept on saying Ken Ham's model, but of course it's not. It's the biblical model of origins.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about that because we want to ask, you know, are these actually, you know, hundreds of thousands of years old? And before we even get there, please explain to us what ice cores actually are, maybe a little bit about how they're formed.
Yeah. Well, basically when the ice forms on the ice sheets in North and South Poles, you get the seasonal storms and it builds up. And so there's internal layering. If you dig a hole, you can actually see some layering, just like you see layering in the snowpack during a winter season. And so the scientists said, okay, let's drill into the ice sheets with sophisticated drilling equipment. But it's really very simple. It's like a hollow pipe with a drill bit on the rim. And what happens as you drill down, of course, the ice stays in the middle of the pipe and they're able to recover that. And they call that a core. They're coring. Geologists do this all the time when they drill into rock. You get the rock core, which is a long cylinder, in this case, of ice. And they lay it out in trays. And, of course, they keep it refrigerated, otherwise it would melt. And so what they've been doing is examining the layering in those ice cores, and they claim that they can count up the layers and come to, you know, over 100,000 years for the ice sheets in Antarctica and in Greenland. The problem is that you don't see layering beyond the top section of the ice cores, because what happens is the weight of the ice in the ice sheet presses down on the ice down at the bottom, and it actually smears and smudges all the layering, and so you can't visually see the layering. So what they have to do is to introduce other techniques where they measure variations in oxygen isotopes, which is to do with variations in the precipitation between the seasons, and they look at dust from volcanic eruptions and those kind of things. And they think that they can detect the layering by that means down to over 100,000 years. Now, of course, they're making assumptions. Again, this is what we talked about a moment ago, the difference between operational and origin science.
Right.
The operation science bit is actually doing the measurements. I mean, they can photograph the ice cores, they can measure the layering near the top, and then they can look at the variations in the oxygen isotope ratios, and they can look at the variations in dust and other chemicals as they analyze down through. And that's repeatable science.
Right.
Because someone else can come along and do exactly the same measurements.
Mm-hmm.
The trouble is, it's when you come to saying, well, how long did it take all this ice to accumulate? And you have to make assumptions. And they're making assumptions that there's only one couplets of layers per year. You get the heavy precipitation during the winter, and you get lighter precipitation or none during the summer, and you can see this variation in the top layers, and therefore they're assuming that you can project that back by counting all these supposed annual bands back to more than 100,000 years. And it's assuming that conditions have been the same in the present back into the past.
So uniformitarianism just showing its head again.
Exactly. The present is the key to the past.
Right. Yeah, okay. Well, we obviously aren't uniformitarian in our view of this. So how does a biblical creationist explain what we see in those ice cores?
Well, very simply, at the end of the flood, we had incredible climatic adjustments as a result of the flood. I mean, the ocean water temperatures were higher. We know that empirically. In fact, everyone agrees that the ocean water temperatures were warmer in the past. That actually produced the ice age because there was greater precipitation, meant more moisture in the atmosphere because of the evaporation from warmer ocean waters, and that came down on the poles and accumulated. What we would say is that you had such tremendous storms that in actual fact, the layering is recording weekly or even biweekly storms. And in fact, an analysis has been done. Dr. Larry Vardaman, who was at the Institute for Creation Research some years ago, had one of his graduate students actually do computer modeling and mm-hmm. filtering of the data from the ice cores. And that student was able to show that if you looked at repetitive storms, huge storms that must have been occurring, and he's Dr. Vardaman has done subsequent modelling, and we've published papers on this in our Answers Research Journal, of the tremendous storms that would have occurred after the flood as a result of these climatic readjustments. So you had rapid accumulation on a weekly or even twice weekly basis, storms sweeping across that would accumulate these layers very rapidly. And so instead of one layer per year, you could have 200 to 300, 500 layers per year. It's interesting that we've had a pretty brutal winter here this past winter. And someone sent me a photograph, which was quite ironic. It was right at the time of this debate.
Yes.
They took a photograph because out on their back deck, they had a table and the ice hadn't melted. The snow pack hadn't melted through the whole winter. And you could see because it was only around the top of the table, so you could see the profile, the cross-section, and you could actually see the individual storm layers.
Wow.
You could count up the number of storms, and you could correlate those winter storms, and everyone's familiar. We've been having them almost every week, sometimes two a week. There's one happening right now coming through.
Right.
And so if you don't get melting between those storms, as happens, has happened in many places, you just keep on getting the layers multiple layers per winter season. And that's exactly, see, Bill Nye and the conventional scientists are not even looking at the present and correctly understanding the present and extrapolating. They've made an assumption that fits what they want to find about these ice cores.
Because really their presupposition is millions of years before they even start, right?
And they've made their assumption so they will get that answer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me ask you, is there any other independent confirmation that these ice layers really have accumulated more quickly?
Absolutely, Steve. You're probably familiar with the example. There was a squadron of planes that had to do a crash landing in Greenland.
I think Ken even
hinted
on that.
Yes, we've had articles on our website about it too.
Mm-hmm.
There were six P-38s, I think it was, and two B-17s, but the crew got out. And 40 years later, people went back to recover these planes and they were buried under 250 feet of ice in 40 years, which is multiple layers per winter season, just as we see today. Now, they went back thinking that they'd only be buried under 40 years worth, you know, one little layer per year, and so it wouldn't be very much. And they were staggered when they found that these were down 250 feet, and it meant that they had to devise specific techniques to try and recover one of these planes.
Okay. Well, actually, there are some people that have claimed that because they've seen experiments where they've put a piece of wire, for instance, on a block of ice and the wire has gone through the ice, that why couldn't that plane have gone through the
ice?
Well,
the fallacy of that argument is that's done at room temperatures where the ice is going to melt anyway. We're talking about a situation in Greenland where it's sub-zero to begin with.
Yeah, because the wire is a heat conductor,
correct.
Right? So it's going to go through the ice, but
it's going to only maintain the same heat in equilibrium with what's in the ice already.
Yeah, okay. Well, it just goes to show you, doesn't it, that we have answers there that really do point to the accuracy of Scripture. You can do modelling, can't you, as a biblical creationist,
correct,
as to what might have happened in the past from the history that we have in the Word of God.
You start with God's Word as your authority.
Yep.
And you can do your modelling on that basis and you get solid answers.
Great. Yeah, that is fantastic. And this is testament to the type of research that can happen at Answers in Genesis. Wonderful PhD scientists like Dr. Snelling. And also Mike Ord has done a lot of work, hasn't he, in respect to the Ice Age. He's got many materials out there about the Ice Age and articles, and we have also books in our online bookstore and here at the Creation Museum. So we really should encourage people to go online and have a look at those.
Be informed and be equipped.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Snelling. Again, a great privilege to have you with us talking about this very, very important topic. If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.